The following is a review of quantitative methods principles and is designed to address the learning outcome statements set forth by the CFA Institute. It is also covered in discounted cash flow applications. Our first two LOS are to calculate and interpret the net present value, or NPV, and the internal rate of return, or IRR, of an investment, and to contrast the NPV rule to the IRR rule, and identify any problems associated with the IRR rule. Both NPV and IRR can be computed using the cash flow keys on your calculator. You will begin by pressing the CF for cash flow key, and then proceed through the inputs by using the down arrow. The net present value of an investment is the present value of the future expected cash flows minus the initial cost of a project. While you can do this for simple problems directly, for more complex cash flows, the calculator solution is much quicker and safer. Let's learn the technique through a simple example. Consider an investment that has a cost today of $100 and will return $40 one year from now, and an additional $50 at the end of each of the next 2 years after that, for a total of 3 positive future cash flows. Assume the required return or appropriate discount rate for this investment is 10%. To calculate the net present value with your calculator, first press the CF key, enter negative 100 to represent the purchase of the investment, and then press Enter. Now press the down arrow, and the display will prompt you for C01, the first cash flow. Enter 40 and press Enter. Again, press the down arrow. You will be prompted for F01, the frequency of the $40 cash flow. That is, how many years in a row do you get $40? In our example, you only get one $40 cash flow, so enter 1, press Enter, and press the down arrow again. You are now prompted for C02, the second cash flow amount. Note that this is the year 2 cash flow in our problem, but need not be if the frequency of the first cash flow amount were greater than 1. C02 refers to the second cash flow amount. In our example, our second cash flow amount is $50, so enter 50 and press Enter, and then the down arrow again. You are now prompted for the frequency of the second cash flow. Since we will receive 2 consecutive annual payments of $50, enter 2, press Enter, and press the down arrow. If you have cleared the cash flow registers, you should have C03 equal to 0, which is how it should be because we have no cash flows after the 2 $50 cash flows. Press the down arrow twice more, and you will return to CF0. Make sure it is negative 100 as it should be. You can scroll through all of your entries with either the down or up arrow to check them. If you need to change any, put in the correct entry and press Enter. Now we are ready to calculate NPV and IRR. To calculate NPV, press NPV. The calculator will prompt you for an interest rate. Our required rate of return in the example is 10%, so enter 10 and then hit Enter. Now press the down arrow to get back to NPV, press Compute, and the calculator should display the NPV of our investment. If it is not 15.25, you messed up. Scroll through the values you entered and correct the one you messed up. Once you are able to get an NPV of 15.25, you can compute IRR. Just press IRR and then press Compute. You should get approximately 18.14%. The rule for NPV is that the investment is worthwhile if the NPV is positive. The IRR rule is that the investment is worthwhile if the IRR is greater than the required rate of return, 10% in our example. These two criteria are mathematically identical. If the IRR is greater than the required rate of return we used to calculate NPV, then the NPV is positive. If the IRR is equal to the required rate of return, the NPV is zero. There are two problems with the IRR method. First, if some of the cash flows after the initial negative cash flow at time zero are negative, there may be more than one IRR. That is, there is more than one discount rate that will make the NPV of the investment equal to zero. The second problem with IRR is that if we want to rank two investments, because, for example, we can only choose one, the one with the higher IRR is not necessarily the one with the higher NPV. These problems with IRR are revisited in the corporate finance material later on. Our next LOS asks us to calculate and interpret a holding period return or total return. The analysis of investment returns usually starts with the measurement of a total return over a given holding period, or simply a holding period return. Holding period return is the percentage change in the value of an investment over a given period of time, including any cash flows from the investment. Holding period return is calculated as the ending value of an investment minus the beginning value of the investment, plus any cash flows generated by the investment over the holding period, divided by the beginning value. This is also referred to as the total return over the period. For a common stock, the cash flow from the investment would be the common stock dividend. For a bond, the cash flow would be the coupon payment. The holding period return for a given investment can be calculated for any time period, day, week, month, quarter, or year, simply by changing the endpoints of the time interval over which values and cash flows are measured. Let's suppose that we just sold a stock for $60 a share that we purchased 1 year ago for $50 a share. Over the last year, this stock paid a $2 dividend. To compute the holding period return on this stock investment, we take the ending value, which was the selling price of $60, minus the beginning value, or the purchase price of $50, plus the cash flow that we received during the holding period, divided by the beginning value. So we have the $60 ending value minus the $50 beginning value plus $2 dividend divided by the $50 beginning value, which gives us a holding period return of 24%. Next, we must calculate and compare the money-weighted and time-weighted rates of return of a portfolio and evaluate the performance of portfolios based on these measures. The money-weighted return applies the concept of internal rate of return, IRR, to investment portfolios. The money-weighted rate of return is defined as the internal rate of return on a portfolio, taking into account all cash inflows and outflows. Here's an example of calculating a money-weighted rate of return. Assume an investor buys a share of stock for $100 at T equals zero. The shares pay a $2 dividend at the end of each year. At the end of the next year, or at T equals 1, she buys an additional share for $120. Since the first share paid a dividend of $2 at the end of the year, this second purchase requires an additional deposit of $118 into the account. At the end of year 2, the investor sells both shares for $130 each and collects a $2 dividend on each share for the second year. The total value of the account at the end of the 2 years is therefore $264. To calculate the money-weighted rate of return, we will enter negative 100 as CF0, negative 118 as C01, and positive 264 as C02, using the cash flow keys just as we did for calculating IRR. Press IRR and then press Compute. The money-weighted rate of return is 13.86%. In this example, we entered the flows into the account as positive and the ending value as negative. There is no difference in the solution if we enter the cash flows into the account as negative values for cash coming out of the investor's pocket and the ending value as a positive value for cash going into the investor's pocket. As long as payments into the account from the investor and payments out of the account to the investor are entered with opposite signs, the computed IRR will be correct. To calculate the time-weighted rate of return, we first need the holding period return for each year. The first year return is $20 in price appreciation plus a $2 dividend based on the beginning value of $100 for a total return of 22%. The second year, the return on the shares is $10 in price appreciation and a $2 dividend, or $12 from a beginning value of $120, which is a total return of 10%. The geometric mean of the 22% and 10% return is 15.84%. The reason the money-weighted return of 13.86% is lower is that there was more money in the account during the second year when the total return on the shares was lower. The time-weighted return is a better measure of the stock performance over the period and is the preferred measure for judging the performance of an account manager when additions and withdrawals from the account are not under his or her control. If an investment manager has complete control over money flows into and out of an account, the money-weighted rate of return may be the more appropriate performance measure.